The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Now, I don't think I was the only one yesterday, because the story came out before our show was even on the air. Like, early yesterday, the Journal Sentinel had a piece up on their website about how the Packers and the city of Green Bay had cut off talks for, you know, extending their lease. Missed the story, didn't think anything of it. And yesterday, because it's the owners' meetings, everybody's talking. Matt LaFleur talked yesterday morning. And after the owners had approved the new kickoff rule, Mark Murphy spoke to some of the local reporters that happened to be down there in Orlando. And one of his comments, like, it just threw me off. Like, I hear him start talking, Chew, and I'm like, what is he talking about? What the lease with the city of Green Bay? No idea what he's talking about. So if you happened to miss this yesterday, here is what Mark Murphy said, and then I'll fill in with other, you know, details that may not be covered in this clip from Mark Murphy.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I got a call from the mayor that he was going to cease negotiations. We're going to stay in Green Bay. We're going to work things out. But I guess I'd say that for us the keys are, we've invested a lot of money in the stadium. We're not asking for any public money. I think going forward we're willing to put in, and this is out to 2030 or 2040, we're willing to put in $1.5 billion into the stadium. We've already put over $600 million of our own money into the stadium. But given the fact that they've walked away, we're going to go forward with $80 million in improvements to the stadium, mostly in the concourse and the concession areas, that given the status of negotiations, we're going to halt those investments. So that's going to affect our fans and also affect us. It's a very dangerous play, I think.
I left that in there on purpose.
All right, Gabe. First of all.
Okay.
People have to realize that this is a business.
Sure.
And Mark Murphy is a big businessman.
Yeah.
Which I have no problem what he's doing. But don't placate to the fans. Okay. You've already reached into their pockets with your stock sales and stuff like that. Stock that is completely worthless. Okay. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you're not wrong.
There's no return on your money.
No, there's no return on the investment.
But this
is basically a straight donation to the Green Bay Packers.
Correct. So, which is fine. You want to do that? I don't invest money like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't invest money where you don't get a return. Okay? You want to do that, that's fine.
Well, no, Chewy, because it's not an investment. It's a donation.
That's fine. Yes. Which you can't write off. So it's not even a donation.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay? So, Murphy's just being a bully, which is fine. This is a business. But what the city of Green Bay needs to do is stop being gaga. Stop going, oh, look, it's Mark. Gaga, gaga, gaga.
Which
kind of... right back at him. Where are you going, Murphy? Where are you going?
Kind of
going
like
to Appleton?
Kind of seems like
build a new city in Appleton?
Kind of seems like that's what they did, Chew. They're like, no, I mean... So the Packers are proposing to basically pay less in rent.
Which is already a screaming deal, seeing how the taxpayers are ones that foot the bill for the major renovation of the stadium.
So the Packers, Chew, do you have any guess what the Packers' rent was for Lambeau Field in 2023? What do you think the Green Bay Packers paid
probably,
in rent?
I'm sure there's an escalator in there after a certain year, so they probably paid $1.5 million, maybe.
So the rent was $986,277, and then they paid an additional $171,000 for administrative fees, coming to a grand total of $1.157 million. This is what we're haggling over?
Yeah. They're just trying to be bullies. That's he's trying to leave his mark. This is what he does. I have no problem with it. Okay,
well, but here's
no problem.
Here's the problem, Chew. Here's the problem. Mark Murphy's mark, no pun intended, on the Green Bay Packers is the NFL draft, which is coming next year. NFL draft 2025. That has been Murphy's baby. Like he has pushed so hard, and I know we give him a hard time on this show from time to time, but I mean he did a great job. Like he put in all the work. That was his baby to get the draft to Green Bay next year. Now, you say at the beginning of a clip that, hey, we're going to figure this out. It's not that big of a deal. But then you're saying we're not going to put the $80 million into the stadium, which could affect the fans and the draft? Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Over what? Over 2.75% of 1.157 million? The Packers' profits last year were like $500 million. Throw a couple extra coins the way. This is to me, Chew. This is the exact same thing. We talked about yard sales last week. This is like your brother not wanting to buy the thing that was 25 cents because he wanted to buy it for two dimes.
Yes.
Exact same thing.
No, Gabe, I get it. And I have no problem with what Murphy's doing. I have zero problem with what he's doing because he runs that business and his job is to run it to the best of his ability. My problem is with the city of Green Bay. Tell him to stick it up as you know what.
Well, he did. The Packers did. They're like, no, we're not going to negotiate. Because
no. I'm saying the city of Green Bay, stop being so googly at whether you got to bring someone in from the outside to negotiate this thing. Tell Murphy. Now, typically, I don't know why they're doing this because the properties we have, you really don't renegotiate a lease until there's 5 or 6 years left on it.
So, Chew.
Probably even less than that.
Here is the statement that the mayor of Green Bay put out yesterday when it came to this. My administration and I will continue to work with the Packers on a number of different initiatives, including the 2025 draft, and we stand ready to re-engage on the subject of lease negotiations as soon as the city's core priorities are legitimately acknowledged in the team's offer. And let's be clear. The lease is one that was agreed to by both parties. The Packers have 18 years remaining on that agreement, and the Packers are free to make any facility improvements they'd like. Their preferred terms would reduce the rent they owe the city of Green Bay, and that's not a good deal for the taxpayers. The city met in good faith with the Packers over the course of several months to discuss reopening lease terms based on the team's request. Although they were productive conversations, the Packers expressed openness to the city's proposed terms. The written proposal did not reflect those discussions. Common Council and I are united in our assessment of the terms offered by the Packers, and if the team wants a different answer, they need to bring forward a proposal that's worthy of our consideration and keeping with what was expressed during our conversations.
That's good. I mean, they're both trying to weaponize the fans, which is fine in business, but if I'm the city of Green Bay, I say, you know what, Mark, we'll talk to the next president because we're only a year and a half away.
Well, so here's the other thing I hate. Like, you have the $80 million. You are ready to spend the $80 million. You have 18 years left on your lease. So because the city won't listen to you because you want to pay less rent, you're going to throw a hissy fit and going to try to affect the fans and, by extension, by your own words, the draft and the experience with the draft because you're not going to put the money into the concourse and concession stands. Like, what are we doing? I hate this crap, man. Like, Chew, I understand it's a business, but, dude, you've got 18 years left on your lease and to try to weaponize the fans?
Yeah, I know. I agree, especially when you first thing you do when you need money, when you really don't because you're loaded, is you go to a stock sale to keep your coffers high. You know, he's asking for a rent reduction when there's no rent reduction offered, my guess, in the terms of the lease that they signed however many years ago. So the city of Green Bay is in the catbird seat. That's what I would do. I'd say, you know what, we'll just wait and negotiate with the new president and see where we go.
Well, here's the other thing, okay? Like, keep paying whatever you're paying. The thing that boggles my mind is we're talking about $1.157 million. Like, we're not even talking about $1.25 million, right? Like, the NFL is putting this Friday Brazil game on the first Friday of the season on a Peacock exclusive. Like, we know that Peacock last year paid, what, $110 million just for the one playoff game? Take the money you made from the one playoff game after that got divvied up, throw it to the city, and we're all fine.
Hey, Gabe, you know when a tenant goes to the building to offer a lease reduction or renegotiate the terms of the lease? When they're losing money, not when you're making $500 million a year. It makes it kind of difficult.
I want to be more harsh than Chewy is. I do hold this against Mark Murphy, and I think it's an absolute embarrassment. I think the fact that the Green Bay Packers here, now we played the one audio clip, and that was the one that they shared on Packers.com and the Packers YouTube. What they did do, though, in that clip, and I can play it here, is they cut out the mention of the draft. So Mark Murphy made this big, long statement, and then when the Packers repurposed it for all of us to see, they cut out this mention at the end here, which you can listen to.
Affect our fans and also affect us for the draft.
So he threw in that it's going to affect the draft, and then the Packers realized, hey, that's an issue because the NFL can come to us and say, what the hell do you mean it's going to affect the draft? We're putting on one of our premier events. So Mark Murphy, like, put his foot in his mouth there in regards to the draft.
Shocking.
The other issue here is,
first time he's ever done that,
is this is between you and the city. The Green Bay Packers claim to be community-owned. They claim to be a nonprofit organization despite making $500 million. Dollars every single year off of the fans. They have no problem raising ticket prices. They have no problem raising concessions prices. But now you're going to threaten the fan base with, well, we're not going to do those upgrades and we're going to halt them because we don't want to pay our damn rent. You guys are you guys are worth $4 billion. The stock sale sells out in minutes every single time you do this. And you're going to over pennies. This is pennies for Mark Murphy.
Yeah.
So what is the point here? And why is this being run through the media?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, Joshy. Who brought it to the media's attention? Was it Murphy or the city of Green Bay?
Or
do we know? I mean, I know everything is public, right?
Well, I mean, I guess the negotiations don't always have to be, right? Like, I don't think the Packers have to report that they met with the city. There was a story, again, I saw in the Journal Sentinel, Richard Ryman, I guess through the Green Bay Press Gazette, because they're both owned by Gannett, USA Today, that whole thing. So it appeared on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's website. It appeared yesterday morning at 5:01. So I didn't even see it yesterday. So I don't know where this story was initially leaked from, if this was from the mayor's side, the Packers' side. But the Packers then publicly talked about it at the owners' meetings yesterday.
And then Green Bay responded, and then the common or whatever, whoever runs Green Bay, responded to what Murphy said?
Yes.
Yes.
That was the series of events.
Mm-hmm. See, my problem is they're just the weaponizing of the fans.
Yeah.
Because the fans do enough for this friend. I mean, and I understand.
They saved it.
But don't bring the fans into it, for crying out loud.
Well, but here's the other thing, Chew. Like, if you were earmarking this, like, I understand if there's, like, 3 years left on the lease. Like, we really need to get to the negotiating table. I understand using the $80 million and weaponizing that as a business tactic if the years are running out on the lease, right? I feel every time the CBA comes up, I feel different topics get weaponized. Like, oh, that's going to come up in the CBA. All these different things. Like, that's the way negotiations, that's the way business works. When you have 18 years, I guess I don't know, Chew. You tell me. You have invested in a lot of businesses over your life. 18 years is a long time left on your lease, is it not? Am I taking crazy pills? That's still a long damn time left on your lease.
Yeah, a good lease for a tenant in a building is a 10-year lease with a 10-year option. Okay, which means at the end of the day, the tenant can get out of it. 18-year lease would be like, money in the bank. I don't have to do anything for another 12 years.
Which I could be mistaken. The Packers also have 2 5-year options on the back end of this thing.
Oh, well, see. Yeah, they're locked in. They're locked.
Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. So the Lambeau Field lease expires technically in August of 2033. So on that part of the lease, there's 9 years left. But the team has two-year options to renew the deal. So 5 2-year options.
It's really 9 years left on the lease.
Yes.
Not 18.
Yes.
So nine, it's still a little. I mean, I have no problem with them trying to renegotiate the lease. Now it's a little early, but I mean, if Murphy's going to play hardball like this, then I'd be like, oh, we'll just wait for the new president. Where are you? The big thing is, where are you going?
Yeah, you're going nowhere.
Where are you going to get the money to build a stadium in Appleton? You think the fans and the taxpayers are going to okay this?
That's the problem, man. Like, Mark Murphy in that clip wants to think that we're dumb.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You can't start a clip. We're not going anywhere. This really isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But, oh, by the way, we're not going to put in $80 million and you fans may suffer and the NFL draft might suffer.
That's what makes it even more insidious is the fact that the only people here set to have any issue is the fans and the people paying a ton of money to go to those games and to support it. How is it on us? Because you want cheaper rent? I don't know if you looked out there, but housing ain't getting any cheaper. So why are the Green Bay Packers getting cheaper rent? Just because they're the big bad bullies up in Green Bay?
Because they've got the draft coming. Yeah, they got the draft coming, Joshy.
Yeah. Are those long-term jobs or are those just going to be an influx of money over one weekend?
They're just trying to be bullies. That's how they operate now. And like I said, it's business. It's fine. That's why I don't like going up there. Because once upon a time, this was a family-owned kind of feel of a business up there. Now it's so corporate and you know, I don't do appearances. I don't care. They called the other day, probably 2 weeks ago, if I would do something, and wanted to pay 1998 rates. And I politely said, I'm sorry, I don't do this anymore, but I'd like to say, you know what, take that and stick it up here. You know what? Give me a break. And I could tell you this. And not that it matters, but a good portion of the alumni don't like him. For being a former player, they don't like him.
You did make a – I mean, this was a while ago, but you have made – there's one appearance I'm aware of, Chu, that you made for the Packers here in my time. I've been in Milwaukee since 2013, so I've known you since 2013.
Yeah. Oh, the sign.
So, Chewy, I don't even know where you were. Was that up in Green Bay or is that somewhere else?
No, that was somewhere in Milwaukee for the draft. And it wasn't even noon.
No,
because you know what happens at noon on a Saturday.
Oh, the wine starts flowing.
It was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
So, I wish I still had video of this. I need to try to see if I can track this video down. Chewy did a draft event. NFL draft going on. And, you know, so Chewy
went live.
Yeah. So they went live to get this reaction to wherever Chewy was for the Packers for reaction to this pick. So here's our big guy wearing the 89 jersey because, you know, you got to wear those things when you go to events like this. And he had one of those signs that, like, rolls up and you can kind of pull apart.
Said, go, Pack, go.
It says, go, Pack, go. So Chewy's just, like, quickly opening and closing it, you know, trying to act like he's excited. There was only one problem with the sign, Joshy.
Upside down?
It was upside down.
Whoops-a-daisies.
That happened to my camera one time, too. It was very weird. It was, a very important Zoom meeting.
Yeah, Chewy, I still have the picture of that, where Chewy showed up to an old team meeting, and he was sideways. Couldn't figure out how to get himself upright in the Zoom, but I digress on that. I've got to talk it from the talk and text line here. Jesse in Madison says, well, time to get an owner and move the Packers to Brazil. Well, funny you should bring up Brazil, because Mark Murphy also spoke about that. We dive into some of those. I find these hilarious comments. Coming up next, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training law. I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it.
What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN. Last night, she
said, oh, baby, I feel so Chewy, I understand I'm going to be putting you on the spot here, right? I'm going to be putting you a little bit on the spot. But can you remember some of the best examples or best excuses you've given your wife when you don't want to do something?
Well, you know, go-to is sick. Now, you know what it's turned into now, Gabe? Being 55 years old, it's just, I don't want to go. And then dig your heels in.
Okay.
Which has about a 50% hit rate right now.
All right. Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Is it bad I'm already there?
You're not at 55, you just dig your heels in already? Well, because That's kind of what seems the Packers are doing. Like the previous segment, we were being pretty serious about our ripping of Mark Murphy. This stuff, though, I love. Like, I absolutely loved this part of his little mini scrum that he had at the owners' meeting yesterday. Because Chewy, the Packers don't want to go to Brazil. Like, no. They just do not want to go. And here's how I know. They are coming up with every excuse in the book like this to try to not to go to Brazil.
Yeah, well, I think we'll obviously hear soon on that with the league. Yeah, we're very supportive of international play. The one issue with Green Bay, though, are the size of our airport and the size of our runway. And we want to make sure that we're not at a competitive disadvantage in terms of how long it's going to take us to get to Brazil. There's some some thought that we might have to bus to Milwaukee and then fly, some of those things. But I anticipate probably within the week we'll find out.
Very supportive of the international. However, I mean, we can't go. Sorry, Raj, we can't go. Our airport is just too small. Our runway, it's not long enough. We can't fly that far. We literally don't have enough runway to take off with a plane that size to get all the way to Brazil. We just can't do it. I'm sorry. We'd love to, but it doesn't work. We just can't do it. And I mean, bus to Milwaukee? No, that'd put us at a disadvantage.
Because when we flew to San Diego and when we flew to Dallas for the NFC Championship game, it was a plane one size under a 727, which was huge because in coach, it was, I think it was two or three on the sides and probably five in the middle.
Sure.
Which is plenty big enough.
No, I'm sorry, Chew. I mean, maybe Austin Strobel, they've shrunk the runways since you guys went to San. I don't know. But he's just saying the runways aren't long enough, which is a pretty good excuse.
Brian in Lake Mills just called in. We want the draft here, but how are those runways going to do off when the people from all over the country and world traveling for the draft? Are those runways going to be good enough?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not the draft isn't a competitive event, right? Like, you could fly into Milwaukee and drive up or bus up. That doesn't put you at a competitive disadvantage for the draft, Josh. Like, that's, you know.
Where would you put that right up there with the dog ate my homework?
Yes.
Is that how bad that is?
That's so bad. I love it, though. I absolutely love it. They don't want to go so bad. They are trying to think of everything that they can say.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Philadelphia is further east and farther away from Brazil than Green Bay, is it not?
I'm not great with geography, but it would seem to be that's a correct statement, Josh.
And Brazil is not that far. You're not talking Beijing or... I mean, Brazil is probably, it's right down by Aruba, right? Or maybe a little farther. Maybe a 6-hour flight, 7-hour.
Brazil is in the middle of South America. It's like all of South America.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not an obnoxious flight. And I'm sure the NFL would say, hey, Mark, how about two planes? How about the riffraff on one and the players and coaches on the other? We'll cover the cost.
So to get to Sao Paulo, it would be a 13-hour flight from Milwaukee.
Okay, which isn't horrible. It's not great.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
It's a beaut.
I love it. We'll see and talk about this with Adam Schefter. See what he has to say about this as he joins us next on Jen Gabe and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, we have some more news.
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Always excited to talk to our guy, Adam Schefter, every Wednesday here. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam.
Gabe and Chewy, where's Jen today?
She's
down by you.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're in Orlando, right, for the owners' meetings?
Yeah.
She's down by you. Her and the family down taking in Disney all this week.
Wow, how about that? I didn't see her. I haven't seen many people. I've been holed up here in the hotel room and the owners' meetings and about ready to head out after this. I'm going off to the airport and we'll fly home.
Well, speaking of flying, I don't know if you happened to hear the comments from Mark Murphy yesterday, but it's very obvious to me after hearing them, the Packers do not want to be the team that ends up taking on the Eagles in Brazil. I don't know. I'm sure you've heard some pretty good excuses in your time in the NFL, Adam. But he was talking yesterday about his concerns about the Packers playing in Brazil included the Packers' runways at Austin Strobel Airport in Green Bay not being long enough, so then it'd be a competitive disadvantage to have to bus to Milwaukee and fly out of Milwaukee. It seems like he's coming up with every excuse in the book to not go to Brazil. What does that sound like to you?
Well, I would say this, that I have not gotten clarity or an answer, but for some reason I feel like I've heard that it's the Browns and the Eagles in Brazil. That seems to be the rumor that's going around. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but that seems to be the rumor. So they may not have to lengthen the runways at your airport in Green Bay to get the Packers out, or they may not have to bust them to Milwaukee. I don't know that the Packers are going to have to worry about that. I think the word on the street, right or wrong, is that it's going to be the Browns versus the Eagles, and we'll see if that turns out to be true here.
Adam, in regards to these international games, because typically your good teams gripe, especially when it comes to the case of the Eagles, because they're losing a home game, and I haven't heard a lot of complaining coming out of that camp. Do these owners get paid to go? Is that how the NFL coaxes them? Like, does Jeff Lurie get a check for $5, $6 million saying...
No, not to my knowledge. I think what this is about is that, look, the NFL is a business, and the business has maximized its revenue growth and earnings in the United States. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is they believe that there is a huge, big international market they can and should be growing. And because of that, it's the obligation of these teams to continue to grow the business, to make money for the league. Wow.
Something going on? Like, if you got to step away, Adam, feel free.
Hold on. There might be.
They change a rule? Is there another rule change?
Yeah. They're confirming that they're widening the runway. Wow, that's fascinating. And so I think that the league views it as, you know, all these teams have their part, their obligation to grow the game in all these markets. And by the way, like, there's money to be made in these markets, which is why certain markets have been assigned to certain teams. Like, the Eagles were assigned the Brazil market. So, like, that's their responsibility. Somebody claimed to me, like, this is a big story that's going to be going on over the years where, like, the NFL owners are dividing up the world. You know, okay, we'll take Brazil. You take, you know, London. We get Barcelona. You get France. You know, like, it's like playing Monopoly and acquiring properties. And the league has assigned these regions and areas to each team, and it's up to the teams to continue to make money. It's not like the league has to pay them. The money's there to be made if they can turn it into a prosperous market, if that makes sense.
Adam, yesterday you had the report, and I guess I was surprised by it, because once the NFL played for the fourth consecutive year on Christmas this year, it's like, well, Christmas is going to be on a Wednesday next year. Can't really play NFL games on a Wednesday, middle of the week, just doesn't work out. Yet they're going to be playing a game on Christmas Day this year. Why do you think they decided to do that? Because they've had so much success on Christmas the last four?
Well, Gabe, here's what you have to understand, and Chewy knows this well. The NFL does what the NFL wants to do. Doesn't care that it's Wednesday. Doesn't care that players will be less rested. They'll figure out a way to get it done if there's money to be made, just like it is the case with these games in these foreign markets. So when you look at the schedule, here's how the league's going to do it. They're going to say, we play games on Saturdays in December. There are going to be two or three games on Saturday, December 21st. And from the teams and the pool of teams that play on Saturday, December 21st, they now will play on Wednesday, Christmas Day, a doubleheader. And the league will view that as akin to playing Sunday and Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, same thing. And actually, whereas you might think it's a punishment to play on Christmas Day in a short week, it's no shorter than the other weeks that the league already has kind of gotten teams and players used to, as much as they don't like it. And then, really, if you play on Christmas Day, the Christmas present is on the backside. You're going to get at least 8 days if you don't play until that Thursday, and you may get 12 days. So it's almost like an in-season bye if you're playing on Christmas Day, right? And the league said, look, here's the deal. The NBA has always played on Christmas Day because the ratings are good. People are home. They want to hang out, be with their families. It's cold out. Go put on the TV and watch basketball or now football. The league saw what happened with the numbers. The league, once it got a taste, said, we're not giving this up. There's no way. There's money to be made on Christmas Day. There's big ratings to be had on Christmas Day. We're going to be a part of Christmas Day. Sorry, NBA, but we're moving into your turf.
They're not sorry. I don't think there's an apology coming from the NFL for moving into the NBA's turf. I don't think they care.
Adam, so
again, to come back to my point, Gabe,
yep.
The NFL does what the NFL wants to do, mm-hmm. Period.
So, Adam, what goes on at the owners' meetings other than voting on new rule changes?
Well, that's really what it's about. Honestly, have you ever been to one, Chewy? Never,
no,
right?
I've never been, no.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there were some people here that I saw for the first time who've been involved in sports. Like Vince Carter was here the other night, and you know, he lives in the area, I guess, and he just stopped on by to see what it was like. And really what it's like is you have every owner, executive, general manager, and head coach from every team all in one hotel staying at the same time in the same place. And the league does a reception on Monday night, and everyone's kind of milling about. And you have also every TV network lobbying the NFL for games that they want on the schedule. And I think really what this initially was it was almost like a way for the league to partner up with its broadcast partners, thank them, get together in an informal, nice setting in the spring. And it's kind of evolved into this annual event on the calendar where now, of course, there's an AFC coaches breakfast on Monday and an NFC coaches breakfast on Tuesday. And the league just gets a ton of publicity out of it, in addition to voting on some rules, in addition to allowing the league to entertain its broadcast partners, in addition to executives and coaches getting to meet with one another. Like, again, I just think of this because I just know personally, like the Shanahan coaching tree, they love to get together at the pool on Monday afternoon, all the head coaches, and hang out and talk and, you know, throw back a beer or two, whatever it may be. And it's a bonding time for a lot of people. And it's nice to get to see people face to face in a setting like this before everybody fully immerses themselves in the preparation for the next month for the NFL draft in Detroit.
The one thing we also expect here in Green Bay, Adam, to get done at some point during this offseason is a Jordan Love extension, which officially cannot happen until early next month because he signed the extension last year, can't do that for 12 months. So Chewy and I had a little debate yesterday. I don't even know what we're betting, but we decided to bet on two different aspects.
And I will tell you who's going to win right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to put you. So I've got that this deal is going to be done pretty quickly around that when Jordan Love can sign it pretty early next month in 2 months in May. And I think it's going to be around $51.5 million.
Okay. And what does Chewy think?
I said right around the start of training camp, and it will be, I said under what Gabe said. So I said high 40s up into, what'd you say, 51.5,
yeah.
Gabe?
The number will start with a 5.
Okay.
And my guess would be, I would think, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
We'll have it done by Memorial Day.
Oh, so that's kind of a push on that one.
Yeah, it's kind of. Well, kind of,
but Goody, but did you hear what Goody said, Adam? He said this is going to take, what did he say, Gabe? This is going to take a while?
Yeah, it's a process. It's going to take some time, something like that.
Yeah, maybe. The timing, here's the deal. I think we all are in agreement that extension is going to get done at some point between, say, the first week in May and training camp, right? Mm-hmm. We all agree on that. It's going to get done. And when it gets done, my guess is, again, that
Gabe is going to be closer to the numbers than Chewy. I think the number starts with a five. The average annual salary starts with a five. So, by the way, if it's 50, who wins?
If it's 50,
then Chewy I win.
Yeah, he's got the under. If it's 50.
So, okay, if it's 50 and a half, who wins?
Chewy.
51, you win, Gabe?
51 and a half.
It's got to get up to 51 and a half.
Okay. You know what? I like your spot. I like your spot. All right. Let's see how it works out.
That's what I like to hear. Shefty's on
my
side.
So if Gabe wins, if Gabe loses, he's got to shave his head. If I win, I owe him $20. It's really not that bad a deal, Adam.
Gabe shaving his head. Boy, oh boy.
You just better hope it goes back.
Pretty good.
Shefty, we know you love the NBA. Last week we learned you're a golf guy, which I'm excited about. Again, be ready, Masters.
Yeah, how about the Bucks last night?
Oh, the Bucks terrible.
Holy cow.
Well, but this week is also opening day. Like, are you a baseball guy? Like, you secretly a baseball guy? You excited for any of the baseball? Or you kind of immerse yourself in the NBA and the golf now with when you're kind of not busy with all the NFL stuff?
Well, let me say this. Growing up, I would watch or listen to every pitch of every New York Yankees game. Like, I mean, obsessed. Loved it. And in fact, I laugh about this all the time. Like, when I decided I wanted to be a baseball beat writer. And when I was out in Colorado, and Colorado was awarded the Rockies, I interviewed for that job and wanted to leave the NFL and the Broncos in the worst way to go cover the Colorado Rockies. And sometimes God is looking out for you, because – in what universe today would you want to leave covering the NFL to go cover baseball?
No kidding.
The Shohei story's pretty juicy.
Yeah, I got it. But that's how young and stupid I was, that I actually wanted to cover a baseball team. And today, these days, I have no interest. I mean, I'm no disrespect to the sport. I am consumed with my professional world, my family, watching golf, watching the NBA, football. Baseball just doesn't fit into my calendar. It just doesn't. That's it.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, well, I you know what, Chewy? I didn't make that decision.
The decision made you.
And then before we let you go, Adam, last week we were talking about the yard sale with Jim Harbaugh. Did you have a chance to talk with Jim about any of the things he got to sell, any of the money that he made off of that?
You know what? It's funny you asked that. Yesterday, I did a sit down with him for a long time, and we got so carried away that I never asked him about the yard sale, but he gave me his business card, which I had never really seen before.
NFL coaches have business cards?
I never knew this, okay? I never knew this. And the business card, on the business card, And I'm opening up right now because it was so unbelievable. On the front, it said Jim Harbaugh's rules to live by. And it lists all these rules. Okay? And on the back, it said advice, ABCs for picking a school, three keys to happiness in descending order, contemplating a career, follow the direction of those in authority, keep doing you, it's working. God bless you and yours, Jim Harbaugh, phone number, email address. You know, one side's advice, one side's his rules to live by. I mean, you want me to read you a few of the rules?
Oh, yeah, give us some of the rules. I got to know some of the rules to live by. I mean, this guy's a very – he just won a national championship. This might be helpful.
Yeah, well, I'm going to use all of these on my podcast next week, but I'll give you a little sampling. And if you want the rest, you can tune into the Adam Schefter podcast next week. But the first few are: choose a great role model, watch him, emulate him, then make them proud. A smile being pleasant is a small price to pay for the goodwill and affection of others. Discipline yourself daily to be physically fit for life. Great effort, great results. Stop trying to win all your fights in the first round. What we do in life echoes in eternity.
And Adam, not quite as good as Aaron Rodgers running for vice president, I'm going to say.
Chewy's disappointed. Yeah. I mean, you were this close to having to become a political reporter now. Yeah. Dodge that one.
I once tried to do that too, and I got rejected from that too, being forced to stick it in. But you're getting all
another smart move. Another smart move.
Chewy, boy, was I stupid. There were things that I actually wanted to do in my life. I had no idea how young, naive, and stupid I was.
We were all there.
Shefty, we always appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Adam.
Adam Schefter joins us each and every Wednesday. Brought to you by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. It includes two championship golf courses. And look, these championship golf courses are fantastic. I love going up there. Do it once a year. Play those golf courses. Stay and play packages are available right now, so book early to guarantee choice dates. For complete information, visit islandresortgolf.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have five safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
Two field goals, two safeties.
Two field goals, two
also
safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees. From full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurpose obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. Shout out to Keith, who hit us up on the talking text line, 800-990-3776. So apparently we're bad at geography, Josh, because apparently Philly is about 1,000 miles closer than Green Bay to Sao Paulo, which is where this game would happen. So if the Packers have to bust Milwaukee, they're traveling a few hours more than Philly. And Sao Paulo is about 2,000 miles further than London was. So the Brazil game, the furthest foreign game the Packers could play.
Interesting.
Yeah. Had no idea. That being said, like, okay, so you're at a little bit of a disadvantage traveling. Isn't that what road games are supposed to be?
Yeah, generally, yeah.
Because this isn't like a neutral site game. This was supposed to be a home game for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I digress, because we have to move on to our regions and our bracket. Our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy bracket, our public new, our just everyday nuisance bracket. Things that bother you, things that you have to deal with. So we have been doing this the last couple of days. Yesterday we had three polls that were out there. And again, we post all these on Jen, Gabe, Chewy. So yesterday we finished up the dining region, Chew. And the final one in dining was loud talking at a nearby table versus order needs to be sent back. Loud talking at a nearby table is going to move on. 60.9% of the votes, they're moving on. We also opened our public region of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievances bracket. The number one seed, again, there's still some time left. We put these up there for 24 hours, so still a little bit of time left, but speakerphone anywhere, dominating grocery store spatial awareness. 72.6% of the vote to speakerphone anywhere. And this is one I'm shocked by. And apparently, maybe this is just an ESPN Milwaukee kitchen issue where we leave dirty dishes in every sink possible. But matchup two in the public region, walking three wide versus leading dirty cups or dishes in the sink, walking three wide, winning 64.4% of the vote. Again, still some time left to vote there, but pretty dominant lead that I don't think is going to be given up. So right now we're going to close out the public region. Two more matchups in our public region, Chew. What do you think of the 2 versus 7? The number two seed, cutting the line, is the two seed. Or the 7 seed of coffee counter line etiquette. You get to the front of the coffee line or whatever line you're in. You don't know what you're ordering. You take too long. Don't know what's going on up there. Thus, kind of pushing out how long it takes for everybody else.
I would say cutting the line because people know what they're doing there. The coffee can just be people are stupid. So you kind of give them a pass.
There's something about cutting in line where it implies that you think you're better than me or more important than me that drives me up a wall.
Was there anything as a kid that drove you more insane when somebody would cut the line?
No.
That's as a kid?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's worse as an adult.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, like, I'm saying as a kid, it was super annoying. And now I'm an adult, like, and you should know better. Like, it's even worse.
Yes. I've cut the line sometimes and didn't know it, though. Ooh, I cut it one time real bad at a Lightning's game.
Oh, boy. What did you do?
I don't know. I just walked right to the front. I mean, I saw the line, but I thought that was will call. But it was awful long for will call.
So what? This was just to get into the stadium?
Yeah.
Just walked to the front and just did whatever you wanted to do. Blissful ignorance of Mark Trimmer. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know you had to get wanded to go into the stadium, and that's what the line was. Yeah,
all of them.
But that wasn't my fault, though. Like, the Brewer one is kind of confusing when you're on the suite level.
Okay.
Isn't it?
No.
Like, it shouldn't be that long.
No, I mean, you can go in, when you've got a suite ticket, you can go anywhere in the stadium. You just have special access to get to the suite. So getting to the stadium's the same anyway to get into the Brewers and get
to Amfam Field. Yeah, but doesn't Green Bay for the suites?
Oh, I don't know about Green Bay. I've never been.
There's a separate entrance, or maybe that's just the player entrance.
If you say so, I've never been in a suite at Lambeau, so I don't know if there is or is not. I will believe you if you say there is.
I've been in one, but I didn't have a special entrance. There may be one, and I just dumbly went to the long line because I thought that's what I had to do.
I've only done a suite at Amfam Field. Lowly baseball. Really? That's all I'm good enough for. I'm not big time. Okay. We're not big time like you. Big time Mark Chimura. The final matchup in the public region. Number 4, shoes off anywhere, taking on 5, ignoring wow. That's crazy in a conversation.
Shoes off.
Yeah, look.
Yeah.
The plane is not your living room. If you're at the beach, yes, by all means. That's expected. You take your shoes off.
Let those little piggies breathe.
Sure. Literally anywhere else.
What about in the office there, in a
house.
Cubicle?
No.
Does anyone take their shoes off in a cubicle there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. People will walk around in socks, bare feet. They'll...
Socks is okay.
Nah.
Nah, look, I mean...
You don't think so?
Socks can leave sweat marks after. I've seen it.
Like, let's just
realize what I said, because I wear the same socks.
Yeah.
I'm on day 3. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're in a public shared space... Keep your shoes on. Uh-huh. It's really not that hard. This isn't your home. This isn't your living room. This is an office. This is an airplane.
I'm even rather accepting. I wouldn't even care if you were wearing sandals. I'd look at you funny, but I'd be like, whatever. Your feet are covered. They're not all over the floor.
Joshy, are you a flip-flop guy?
No. I wear Birkenstocks, though.
Oh, it's the same thing. I'm saying open-toed because some restaurants/clubs that require... closed-toed shoes, I'm out. Don't tell me what I have to wear on my feet in that instance.
Yeah, I mean, the Birkenstocks I reserve for pretty specific things. Like it's.
Do you wear socks with them?
No. I do with the clogs, though. Love the clogs with socks.
Well, you know what's Bush League is the girls can wear open-toed shoes whenever. It's just the guys that what is that?
Well, our feet are gross.
I've seen some nappy women's feet, too. You know?
Yeah, I've unfortunately seen your feet, pal.
Mine?
Yeah, they're not great.
No, they're not great. I mean, you can pet them. My brother used to
prefer
pet my
not
feet
to.
All the time.
Thank you for the offer, but I'm going to pass. I mean, it's very generous of you.
High-level athletes' feet almost universally are hideous.
Oh, yeah, because
either
just
take the abuse.
The amount of stress and abuse that they had to go through. Like, Chewy playing nearly a decade in the NFL, I would not expect him to have good feet. Especially when you've talked about
spur.
The feet. Yeah, the foot issues you had in your playing career.
Yeah, terrible. I should have had it taken off because they asked to take it off every year, and I'm like, we'll do it next year.
Take what
and
off?
I wasn't there anymore. I have a bone spur on the top of my foot.
I missed the bone spur pot. I thought you were talking about amputating your foot.
I could probably do it myself because I got a grind wheel.
No. This is one. Hey, bud. This is one I think you should leave to the professionals.
I think the ligament goes over the top of it, which could be a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Gabe. Gabe. What tool you think they're using in the operating room? I guarantee they're using a grind wheel to get rid of it.
Yeah, but somebody else is doing it.
Yeah, and getting paid an enormous amount of money to do it.
Yeah. I mean, just think about, like, how you'd have to, like, contort your foot and, like, get the... No, man. You're 55 years old. You're not that flexible anymore, bud.
Gabe, put it this way. If Armageddon came about and there were no doctors or anything like that, I'd be doing the thing by myself. I don't think it's that hard.
Yeah, people would be going people would be going to see Dr. Chimura for more bleedings.
That is probably day one of medical school. Hey, let's take off a bone spur.
I think there are a lot of steps before we open you up and grind bones.
Day one of medical school. Here's how you remove a bone spur.
Yes.
Maybe
not that huff.
Maybe like day one of orthopedic surgery or something like that. I don't know.
It seems like a pretty risky business because if you go too far, you can damage the bone and the joints and
tendons.
Yeah, like I'm sure it's routine for professionals, but you going in there with a 50 grit sandpaper on that sucker ain't going to do you much.
Nah, I mean, I sharpened my own lawnmower blades. How hard can it be?
Well, I mean, that they are very similar.
Yeah, but you're able to take the blades of the lawnmower out and be able to, like, do it up here. Like, you can't just remove your foot, put it on the table, and be able
That's
to
true.
Work all willy-nilly.
The stakes are also a lot lower.
Turns out you can just go get new lawnmower blades. Tougher to get a new foot.
Yeah.
How'd we get here?
You?
Your ugly feet.
Well, I know it was me.
Yes, your feet and people taking off their shoes.
Oh, yeah, thank you. There we go.
Yeah, well, we always put it together at the end. Much like Matt LaFleur put it together yesterday. Had some really good things to say about his quarterback and had some really exciting things to say about the offense. We hear those clips from Matt LaFleur yesterday at the owners' meetings in 2 minutes. Jen, give it to you.